the way the red and orange and yellow just dance in that unique rhythm. The fire has long since burned out of the logs, so now he sits in the chill, the darkness of the morning. Every once in a while with his stick, he'll poke the coals and he'll watch it roam. Flashes of yellow and orange. Coals that have burned for hours into flames now just make their own motion. He's found it's a way just to lose himself. He's tried to sleep, but every time he closes his eyes, his greatest nightmare comes before him. So now he'll sit on the log and stir coals. A night that seems endless, a night that seems to go on forever, and yet it catches him by surprise how quickly morning comes. On the eastern hillside, a faint line of gray makes out the silhouettes as that big ball of fire starts to arch across the sky. And by the time the lights chase the shadows from the valley, he knows it's time to go. So he'll stand. He'll take the stick and he'll make sure dirt's covered up on the coals. With the right sandaled foot, he'll stomp it down and he'll begin that walk. And it's a morning like this where a man starts to question, do I have what it takes? I know there's a God. I know he exists. But if this is my last day on earth, which he's probably certain it is, do I have a faith to really follow? God simply said, it's time to go back and talk to the king. It's been 3.5 years since we left him last night. It's been 3.5 years of drought, 3.5 years of no rain on the land, 3.5 years of complete economic, financial ruin. And he's been the sole cause of it. If you didn't join us last night, he's from nowhere, and the Bible just makes that clear. No specific background. We don't know his parents. We don't know what type of home he came from. It's almost as if the Bible says, I don't care where you've come from. I don't care what type of home you've come from. I don't care about the pattern of sin or the life that you've had. It's a guy that just comes out of nowhere, but he's willing to follow. It's a time in the nation's history where they have more freedom and prosperity than they've ever had before. There's more religious freedom. There's more moral freedom. There's more ethical freedom. There's more sexual freedom. There's never been a better time for a man to be alive. There's really no rules. There's no confinement. And yet there's more violence and more sin in the nation than ever before. And God says King Omri did evil in the eyes of God, and King Ahab did even more evil than his dad. He married a wicked woman named Jezebel, and he provoked God. He kept just sticking the bear, if you will. And God said, it's go time. Elijah, from nowhere. If you're willing to move, move. It takes risk. It takes sacrifice. And Elijah went to the king we saw last night and said, because of the God I serve, there's not going to be rain until I say so. And he walks away. It's been 3.5 years. And now God said, it's time to go back. 3.5 years. We have to skip half a chapter. You may want to go back and read it on your own. 3.5 years of Elijah coming to a town in the middle of drought. And there's a widow woman. The Bible says she's out collecting sticks. She wants to make one more fire. She has a boy. She's a single mom. They're both about to die. There's no food left. And Elijah comes up and says, I need you to make me breakfast. And she goes, sir, you don't understand. I'm down to 1/2 cup of flour. I have a small amount of oil. I'm going to make one last cake. I'm going to share it between my son and I, and we'll lay down and die. That's how bad and severe the drought's gotten. And Elijah said, I understand, but the God I serve says, make me that cake. I told you, following God means being different. Following God means being set apart. Following God means sometimes we're going to take a stand in ways that doesn't even look what the world today would call politically correct. And the widow woman does it. She has enough faith to bake one cake. Basically, it's 1/2 Twinkie. It's yours. And Elijah eats it and says, from now on, there's always going to be flour in that jar, and there's always going to be oil in the vase. And for the rest of the drought, every time that widow woman went, there was flour and there was oil, and they make it through. It's this incredible time. We don't have time to go back and look at it, but it's this thing about, you show me a man of God, and I show you a guy that's going to bring some salvation to a house. Elijah lives in the house, and he desires to be a man of God, and because of that, the woman he's going to be with now and the boy are going to be different. That's what we're made for, guys. We're made to be different. We're made to be dangerous. I love that. I always tell my boy, where's Bear? I haven't seen him very much. Hey, boy, What's the purpose of a man? That's right, to protect girls. One day it'll be to protect women. Right now I'm not worried about that. Just start with girls. Just start with girls. You show me a man that follows God, and I'm going to show you people around him that are safe and secure, and they're better for him being in the house. It's just a great little picture of Elijah, a house that was about to be destroyed, a house that was about to wither away, and God said, I'm going to put a man there who follows me, and there's a woman and a child that's going to be different and protected because there's a man of God living in that house. And now God said, Elijah, it's time to go. Show yourself to the king. Well, the king's been hunting me down. Man, the king's been trying to kill me. Go. And he walks. And we pick up this story in 1 Kings 18 where we left off. This is going to be a good one. 1 Kings 18, if you got a Bible, open it. It's probably one of the best game day stories there could be. I love college game day. Now, I love me some NFL, but there is something about college ball that just stirs the heart of this West Texas dude, man. He ain't playing for money. You ain't playing for huge contract. Oh, I know you're trying to get somewhere, but this is for the love of the game. College game day always starts with some of the best stories, man. Let me give you a glimpse into either the top 20 matchup that's going on, or let me tell you a story about this wide receiver from nowhere. Let me tell you about this kid that had all the odds against him and where he's playing Division I today. This is a college game day story. Maybe one of the best game day stories in the Bible. 1 Kings chapter 18. There's some reading to do. I know I'm not a reading either, but here it goes. Did I just say I'm not a reading either? I'm not a speaker either. 1 Kings 18, old man bifocals, go on. After a long time in the third year, the word of the Lord came to Elijah, go and present yourself back to Ahab the king, and I'm going to send rain on the land. So Elijah went to present himself to Ahab. Now the famine was severe in Samaria, and Ahab had summoned Obadiah, who was in charge of his palace. Side note, Bible, parentheses.
You see, Obadiah was a devout believer in the Lord. While Jezebel, the queen, was killing off the Lord's prophets, Obadiah had taken 100 prophets, hidden them in 2 caves, 50 in each, and supplied them with food and water.
Side note, back to the story. I love the way college game day works in the Bible. So the king grabs the guy in charge of his palace, Obadiah, and you're like, oh, wicked king, wicked queen, wicked palace. Side note, Obadiah is a good guy. He's been doing this secretly. He's been risking his neck all along. The queen's been killing everyone who follows God, everyone who follows the one creator God. Because remember, she's sponsoring her own religion. She's sponsoring Baal and Asherah, we talked about last night, the god of success and the goddess of sexuality. And to really make sure she's got a new cult religion in the land, she's killing off all the Christians, if you will. Secretly, Obadiah's on the inside track on this. He finds out where they're killing. He goes out and grabs the guys that are following God and says, you guys are about to die. You can stay here and die, or you can follow me. And they're like, we're following you. And he's got him hidden in caves. Now, if you've ever been to Israel, especially around the region of Samaria, there's over 2,500 caves just in this region of Israel. And some of them are huge. Some of them you have to crawl through and they open up. Some of them you can just walk into and go, man, there's about 12,000 square foot of living space in this cave. And it's amazing, the caves in Israel. So it's pretty easy to find a cave to hide guys in, but pretty hard to find guys in caves. And Obadiah's been doing this. 50 in this cave, 50 in this cave. Guys, as soon as I get some stuff together, I'll come to you. They're coming with food. They're coming with water. They're putting in caves. And Obadiah's been doing this all along. Back to the story. Now Ahab the king said to Obadiah, go throughout the land to all the springs and valleys. Maybe we can find some grass to keep the horses and mules alive, so we will not have to kill any of our animals. So they divided the land they were to cover, Ahab going in one direction and Obadiah in another. So the king says, we got to find some water. It's been 3.5 years. We got to go to all the En-Gedis, all the springs. If you've ever gone into Israel, you notice there's some high plains and hill country with the rains. And then you go down and there's these little valleys, these little springs. They're called En-Gedis. In the middle of nowhere in the desert, you're kind of cruising through Dead Sea area going, oh my gosh, who could ever live out here? And then you look up in the crease of a canyon, you notice greenery. And if you follow it, you'll start walking back, and before you know it, there's springs coming out of the rocks. And it's an amazing, beautiful place, these little oases, all in the midst of the crevices and the canyons there. Because all the high country drains down through the rock, and it comes out crystal clear water through the bottom. And the king says, we got to go every little nook and cranny, every little cave, every cistern, every wadi, find out if there's water, because I have to keep what alive? The horses and mules. Tells you a lot about a leader here, doesn't it? We know the widows. We know the children are dying in the land. I mean, the story before just told that. There's been a famine for 3.5 years. There's no commerce. in an entire land where everything's agrarian. It's either by what you grow or the livestock and herds you have. For 3.5 years with no water, you've lost all livelihood. He's looking for water to keep his horses and asses alive, not his people. Not his people. And we can look at this guy and go, oh, bro, give me a hold of a guy. Like, I want the nonprofit dude right here to just keep doing one-on-one with Ahab. I'm putting my $10 on home dude that hasn't slept. That's where I'm going right now. True or false? True. But before we jump all over King Ahab, I got to check myself. When I go to work, am I more worried about the horses and asses or the people? We just say asses because that's kind of a cool way for a pastor to cuss and talking about mule. But it also works right here because you put a T on the end. When I go about my work, am I more worried about my assets or people? Guys, there ain't nothing wrong about the bottom line. There ain't nothing wrong about making a buck. There ain't nothing wrong about having a drive in you to become something and to build something. That's God made. And we are created to work. We're created to do. We're created to make success. There is nothing wrong about having and wanting more. But is the bottom line the bottom line? Employer? Owner? Founder? Is it about assets or associates? Is it about the process, the procedures, the policies, or about the people? This king is looking out for his own kingdom, not others. Elijah was a guy that said, wherever I am, even the widows and kids, I'm going to make sure they get first. Oh, there's going to be a step of faith. Make me the Twinkie. I want to know if you can buy into me and my God. What's the bottom line? Oh, may we be about success. May we be about building something. But in the midst of that, may we always have a bottom line that says, well, what about the client? What about the employee? What about the guy in the cubicle next to me? What about how I treat my employer? I have this sneaky suspicion when we read the Bible, if Jesus was in our company, in our office, in our desk, on the job site, he would do the job well. My bet is he'd be a success. But my bet is there'd be something different like we talked about last night. That guy seems to be more interested in people than the process. It's good stuff. King wants to make sure his horses and asses have water while his people are dying of the drought. Obadiah, go look that direction. It's gotten so severe, the king's setting out to look for himself. I'm going this direction. And Obadiah, the palace manager, sets out. And as Obadiah was walking along, Elijah met him. And Obadiah recognized him, bowed down to the ground, and said, Is it really you, my lord Elijah? Yes, he replied. Go tell your master that Elijah is here. What have I done wrong? said Obadiah. That you are handing your servant over to Ahab to be put to death. As surely as the Lord your God lives, there is not a nation or kingdom where my master the king has not sent someone to look for you. And whenever a nation or kingdom claimed you were not there, he made them swear they couldn't find you. But now you tell me, go to my master and say, oh, Elijah is here. I don't know where the Spirit of the Lord may carry you when I leave. If I go and tell wicked King Ahab, and he doesn't find you, he's going to kill me. Yet I, your servant, I've worshipped the Lord your God since my youth. Haven't you heard, my Lord, what I did? While Jezebel was killing all the prophets of the Lord, I hid 100 of the Lord's prophets in 2 caves, 50 in each. I've supplied them with food and water. And now you tell me, go to my master and say, Elijah is here? He's going to kill me. Ahab's like, no way. Elijah starts making his way to find the king, where the king's out looking for water. Elijah comes across the palace manager, Obadiah. Hey, go tell your king Ahab, I'm here. No way. The king's, for 3 years, the king's been trying to kill you. And every time there was sight of you, he would go to that area and you would disappear. Do you know what he's done to those people? I'm not going to be one of those people. No way. And Elijah goes, look, I promise, I ain't going anywhere. I'm coming to meet your king. Go tell him I'm here. I got your back. So Obadiah went to meet Ahab. And he told him, and Ahab came down to meet Elijah. Showdown. And when he saw Elijah, he said to him, is that you, you troubler of Israel? I love that little line right there, don't you? Let me just ask you, who do you blame for your crap? It ain't you, is it? It ain't you. Who do you blame for the relationship you're in right now? Somebody. Probably the woman you're with, the woman you're not with, the woman they used to have. Who do you blame for where you are right now? It's always somebody, isn't it? Man, I know those two things about us guys. We are good at getting into trouble, and we are good at blaming someone for the trouble we're in, aren't we? Is that you, you troubler of Israel? He's got to have someone to blame. Is it because of the dad you had? Is it because of the dad you didn't have? If it's because someone stabbed you in the back? Is it because you were going in a great direction until this person or this happened? We love taking responsibility for things that are going well, don't we? But man, when things take a turn, and it's like, Ahab, you've put yourself in this mess. And the first way out is taking responsibility for it, not putting on someone else. I love sitting in on some of the AA meetings and the stuff that's happening around our campus and in places. First thing you got to do is stand up and say what? Let me tell you about the dad I had. And everyone's like, yeah. No, that don't work there, does it? Let me tell you about this chick and what she did to me. And where, no, that doesn't work, does it? First thing you got to stand up and just own it. My name is Chris. I've been using for 7 years. This is my drug of choice, or this is my substance of choice, and that's why I'm here. And you sit back down, and everybody's like, hey, glad you're here, man. The first step is you better own your crap. We can all blame and point fingers at something or someone, but that ain't going to get us out of it. And Ahab the king, the Bible says, dude, you've been an idiot this entire time. You've chased God out of your land, and now you're upset that you're in a drought? You got to own this, buddy. There may have been other people's fingerprints on your life. There may have been other people that were part of jacking you up, but you got to own this. But he loves pointing fingers. Is that you, you troubler of Israel? Right there. That's why God never called me to be a prophet, because I just dropped smack right there. Oh, you want to point fingers at me? Let me tell you about you, you more. And I was, and God's like, you're an idiot, Chris. I can't use you. I'm like, no. That's why he said, you just read the book. Don't understand your own stuff. Here we go. I've not made any trouble for you or Israel, Elijah replied, but you and your father's family have. You've abandoned the Lord's commands. You've followed the Baals. Now summon the people from all over Israel to meet me on Mount Carmel and bring the 450 prophets of Baal and your 400 prophets of Asherah who eat at Jezebel's table. Now, obviously, the queen doesn't have a table with 850 seats at it. That's a big table. What it means is, the king right now and queen, the government is supporting this. You guys are supporting 450 prophets to Baal. And you guys are supporting 400 prophets of Asherah. You've got 850 Satan worshipers that are now on your payroll. Let's meet. Bring them. Bring the heads of all over Israel so everyone can report this. Bring the press. Bring the press. Bring 850 Satan worshipers. Let's go. Elijah is calling him out. Ahab likes the odds. So Ahab sent word throughout all of Israel and assembled the prophets on Mount Carmel. Elijah went before the people and said, how long will you waver, circle, highlight, underline, between two different opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, follow him. And the people said nothing. They're waiting for a third option. This is where we're camping out this morning, guys. And we're going to finish the story. It's college game day. You got to see a final score on this. But this is where we're camping out. How long are you going to waver? I love the word there in the Hebrew. It means to hop or to dance. That's a good word picture. You ever seen birds? I don't know what this is going to say about me, but I don't care. We grew up in West Texas where you were like in a drought your entire life. And we grew up 20 miles outside the city of El Paso, far, far West Texas. And because of that, there was nothing to do but ride bikes and shoot. Every once in a while, you didn't have enough gas to ride your bike around, so you just shot stuff. So we'd have a .22 rifle, was the easiest, kind of low on ammunition back then, your bricks of 100. And then I had an Ithaca single shot 20 gauge, was my first shotgun I got when I was about 13. And it was nothing to see a whole bunch of 10, 11, and 12-year-olds walking down the road with shotguns and rifles. I mean, that was just the norm. And we would go out in the desert and we'd shoot whatever moved. So you're careful to move depending on who was out there. And we look for these little LBFBs. I don't know what they're called. We just call them LBFBs. And so we'd go hunting LBFBs. There's these little bitty frickin' birds. And LBFBs. And they're these little brown birds. And sometimes you'd find them in the desert all over the bushes. And with a .22, it's a tough shot. I mean, the bird's a little tiny bird, but they would just hop all over the place. And I know it's probably not the smartest thing to do. And my son hates this because my son loves animals. And he hates it when humans just crush animals. And that's a good heart. I wish Dad had your heart. But we would just shoot those things, man. And you'd see the bushes, and they would just hop from little limb to limb. They never sat still for long. So if you got one sitting still, man, you better go and pull it. And it's hard to walk up on them because they would all take off. Yes, we loved quail, and yes, we loved dove when they came in, but those were harder to get. Yes, we loved the jackrabbits that would run fast, and you'd shoot for the ears hopping on the bushes way ahead. And rattlesnakes, of course, was the best because that would get your blood boiling. But a lot of times there was nothing to shoot out there but little LBFBs. And when they finally stood on the branch, you got to squeeze a shot off on that thing. Because they would just hop back, branch, 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 branch. Little ADD birds, man. That's his word. How long are you going to hop back around on this? Oh, Israel knows there's a God. Israel knows there's a creator. I mean, they're the children of Israel. Israel believes that, yeah, there's a God, there's a creator. Well, I know that. But man, that's so much of Baal and Asherah. It's the success and sexuality of this world that I just keep jumping into. I know there's a God, and I know there's a creator. But, oh, it's this world and the success. I know there's a God, and I know there's a creator. But, oh, I just love the success and everything. And the God of Baal promises everything, and I don't have to give anything. And it's so good to soak up a little. And then you feel guilty every once in a while. And you go, there's a God, and there's a prayer, and there's like, and then there's this thing. And that's the word. It's, he says, well, stop being a little LBFB. Stop being one of those little bitty freaking birds. Pick a branch. Pick a branch. You're like, well, I'm afraid I'm going to get blown up if I pick a branch. He said, pick a branch. Israel, you know there's a God, but you love jumping in and out of the world. You love jumping in and out of, there's a God, but I want this. There's a God, but this is me. There's a God, but this isn't wrong. There's a God, but I'm going to click on this. There's a God, but I'm going to watch this. There's a God, but I'm going to do this. How long are you going to do that? How many more sermons do you have to sit through? How many more Sundays or Saturday nights do you have to sit through? How many more times do you have to walk out of church and feel a little convicted and go, man, I'm glad there's a 10-minute drive home because I can shake that off? How many times is the Spirit of God going to go, yeah, I'm talking to you, Andy, this is about you, this is about you. And you're like, oh, God, yeah, I know, but I'm gonna get back in the world. How many more Sundays or Saturdays are you going to sit there and just feel this little tug, just, Andy, this is about you. Dude, you got to get rid of your stuff, man, own it. Yeah, 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 oh, but now I'm back in the world. He goes, dude, pick a limb. Who are you going to serve? And the crowd's silent. Because you don't have an answer, do you? I don't have an answer. What is it finally going to take for you to go all in on this God that's gone all in on you? What's it finally going to take for you to go, I'm in, and I'm not getting out. In all aspect of my life, I'm in. I'm picking this branch, and there's no other branches. What's it going to take, guys? And there's no answer because we don't have a good answer. And Elijah says, then let me push the point. Showdown. The people said nothing. And Elijah said to them, I'm the only one of the Lord's prophets left. This is a little arrogant, by the way. Just because it's in the Bible doesn't mean it's a true statement. It means it happened. It's real. This is Elijah like, man, I'm the only one left that follows God. Excuse me, the dude Obadiah just told you he's got two caves of 50 dudes. Oh, yeah, I mean, you know, besides them. Getting a little carried away? Isn't that amazing? Once we pick God and we're on a branch and we're standing for God, then we start looking at all the other LBFBs. Why aren't you standing on a branch? Why I'm the only one that seems to love God. Oh, now you got to get over yourself, moron. If we do this, dude, we make it about us. I love that it's there. Here it goes. I'm the only one of the Lord's prophets left, but Baal has 400.
This is a story about mail and packages, and it's also a story about people. And while we make more e-commerce deliveries to homes than anyone else in the country, we never forget that your business is our business. The United States Postal Service. Priority,
you. And I'm going to put it on the wood, and I won't set fire to it. Then you call in the name
quick
of your
pass
God.
Out to center right. Played ahead for Duchesne. Cuts in. Oh, he is cartwheeled with a check by Orloff. Oh, my. And he popped right back up and skated.
Michael, that will be shown on every show you're ever going to see this hockey season as the best.
With a check.
Wood around. Now let's bring a bolt. Bring up these big old bowls. Cut them up. That's a bloody sight. Put the chunks on it. I'm putting the chunks on my wood. Now, don't set fire to it. Wait. Put away the lighters. No Zippos. We're just going to pray to our God. Whatever God can drop fire from heaven, Let's all decide that's the real God.
Well, you want to do it? I'm in.
We outnumber him 850-1. Let's go. Remember last night? Baal is the god of the sky. Once again, this isn't a home game for Elijah. He goes, I'll play in your court. I'll play in your God's strength. The sky god controls lightning. Whatever God brings from the sky. Dude, I'll put everything in your favor, in your corner. That's how confident I am about this God that I follow. We'll play by your rules on your home court. Let's go. Let's go. Man, I love this. Plus, there's a lot of smack talking that's about to happen on game day. This is good. All the people said, hey, what you say is good. We like our odds. You're playing in our God's home court. We're in. Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, choose one of the bulls and prepare it first. Since there are so many of you, call on the name of your God, but do not let the fire. So they took the bull given to them. They prepared it. Then they called on the name of Baal from morning until noon. We got a 6, 5, 4 hours, depending on when they started. Oh, Baal, answer us, they shouted, but there was no response. No one answered. So they danced around the altar that they had made. At noon, Elijah began to taunt them. Smack talk. Shout louder, 850 people screaming. Maybe you're not loud enough. He said, surely he is a god, little g. Perhaps he is deep in thought or busy or traveling. Maybe he's sleeping. Maybe you got to wake him up. So they shouted louder. They slashed themselves with swords and spears, as was their custom, until blood flowed from their body. Midday passed. They continued their frantic prophesying until the time for the evening sacrifice. But there was no response. No one answered. No one paid attention. For 10 to 12 hours, this is going on. You got to picture the scene. You got a big pile of dried out wood. You got chunks of a bull that's laying on it. 10 to 12 hours in the sun. You imagine the flies that are gathering around this thing? A circle of 850 Satan worshipers. Man, they're chanting. They're calling on God. An hour passes. 2, 3, 4, 5 hours pass. Elijah starts to smack talk. It gave it all at once, but I bet it was intermittent. And maybe he's on vacation. You freaking vacation. Maybe he's sleeping. Maybe you got to be louder. They start slashing themselves. This frenzy happens around the wood. The Bible says maybe your God is busy in Hebrew. Maybe he had to relieve himself. That's what he's saying. Maybe your God's on the crapper. It's exactly, I love Elijah now. You see, like, I picture, like, old bearded, like, Gandalf dude sitting on a stone, just smack talking. 850 cutting themselves, screaming out. Nothing happens. Morning comes. Noon comes. Afternoon comes. It's time for the evening. It's 6 p.m., evening sacrifice. They've had the ball for three quarters. Now it's time to punt. I love this. Then Elijah said to all the people, come here to me. All right, now let's try my stack. They came to him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord, which was in ruins. Elijah took 12 stones, one for each of the tribes descended from Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord had come, saying, your name shall be Israel. He goes back to the roots. This is for the people. 12 big stones that you're going to build an altar on. It's a big barbecue, if you will. I want to remind you where you've come from. I want to remind you of promises. I want to remind you of the beginning. I want to remind you there was a God that took a hillbilly backwoods nobody that had nothing going for him named Abraham and said, I promise if you follow me, I can do something. I want to remind you that he had a son, even though he was past the years of 90 years of age, he had a boy, Billy Joel style. Did you guys catch that a couple of weeks ago? Are you kidding me? No? No one in the news? That's the type of news I watch. Billy Joel, he's like what, 140 now or something like that? He's 70-something? He just had another kid. I'm like, ooh, Knuckles, way to go, Billy. He's past the age of 90. He's got a boy named Isaac. Isaac has a son named Jacob. Jacob's got 12 boys. The land's going to be divided up, given to the 12 families, the 12 tribes of Israel. He gets 12 stones. I want to remind you that you were made for something. I want to remind you that you're not a mistake, man. I want to remind you that you were made by a purpose, with a purpose, for a purpose. He brings them back to the beginnings. He gets 12 rocks. Every Israeli there knows exactly what he's doing. We may have to explain it. They don't. These guys piled up a bunch of sticks and prayed for fire to fall, and nothing happened. Now they're exhausted. They're tired. They're cut. They're bleeding. And he pulls out 12 stones, and they're all like, oh, frick. He's going there. Don't you hate to be reminded? I know there's part of you up here, and you want a great break. You want to hang out. Maybe you do want something of God, but you really don't want to be convicted. I think you know you need it, but you hate being reminded. And he rolls them out. I'm going to remind you, you have a purpose, man. You have a purpose. With the stones, he built an altar, verse 32, in the name of the Lord. He dug a trench around it, large enough to hold 2 seahs of flour. This is 2 large baskets. He arranged the wood, and he cut the bull into pieces. He laid it on the wood. Then he said to them, fill 4 large jars with water and pour it on the offering and on the wood. Do it again, he said. And they did it again. Do it a third time, he ordered. And they did it the third time. And the water ran down around the altar and even filled the trench. This is just showing off. This is God just poking back. Just in case you're wondering if this wood's been sitting out in the sun all day and maybe there is a piece of glass or maybe the sun's been burning down on it, maybe it'll just, you know, self-combust. I just want to show off. Go to the cistern, the well. So they've dug deep into the clay soil to get some of the muddy water. It's all that you've had. But bring up 4 jars of that junk. Dump it on my barbecue. Go do it again. 4 more jars come up. Dump it all over my barbecue. Do it again. 4 more jars come up. Dump it all over my barbecue. The wood is soaked. The trench is now filled with this muddy, murky water. I just want to let you know there's no tricks up the sleeve here. This is God showing off. This just is so you don't go home and go, well, the wood was really dry and it was a time of... Shut up. Soak it. Soak it. But this is for every one of you that is sitting here and saying, this isn't for me. Chris, great stuff, but you don't know what I've already done. Oh, I know God wants to use man. Man, God's looking for a man, but you don't know what I've already done. Buckets of water on it. You don't understand the family I've come from. Buckets of water on it. You don't understand what I'm currently going through. More buckets of water on it. 12 buckets of water. It's simply to erase all of you that are sitting here going, man, this ain't my talk, dude. I'm sure there's some godly dudes from church, and God's going to use them. I mean, look what they've been doing for the last. I'm a brand new Christian, man. I don't even know. I didn't know. I can't even find Kings yet. I didn't even open my Bible because I'm embarrassed in pages. I don't even have a Bible. This ain't for me. Another bucket of water. You don't understand where my marriage is. You don't understand my last marriage. You don't even understand my addiction right now. Another bucket of water. Dude, I don't come from a family of spirits. Another bucket of water. This is God saying, douse it, douse it. Douse it. You know why? Because it ain't about the wood. It ain't about the man. It ain't about what you have, who you are, or where you come from. It's not about the wood. It's about the God that's about to do something with the wood. Douse it. Drench it. Tell me your life. Tell me your crap. Tell me your addictions. Tell me about your dad or lack of dad. Tell me about the abuse. Tell me what you've done to yourself. Tell me what's been done to you. Another bucket, another bucket, another bucket. God says, you know what? You're going to make me look good. You're going to make me look good. It ain't about the wood. I want to do it over and over and over. 4 buckets, 8 buckets, 12 buckets. Just so everyone walks away and go, man, that ain't about the wood. You know why some of my friends back in Texas believe in God? They know me. That was a tough one to get over, man. Going back home, I don't go home much. Running into some old buddies, seeing their, oh, man, you married, kids, how old? Hey, Brown, man, what are you doing now? Man, I live out in California. No way, shut the F up. Never go. I'm like, yeah, it's awesome. So what do you do? Honestly, man, I keep busy out there. That's a lot of fun, man. It's good stuff. No, man, shut up. What do you do? Honestly, I'm a pastor. Oh, God, dude, you're so effing funny. That's hilarious. You've always been funny, man. Seriously, what do you do? I get up and I preach the Bible on Sundays to people. Ah, oh, God, motherfucker, man, you've been my God, dude. You're the funniest dude ever. Seriously, man, what do you do? I tell people about how much of a screw-up I used to be and how much I can still be a screw-up if it wasn't for this book and how this God's changed my life. And I actually love one woman now. One woman. But the crazy thing is, there's one woman that actually loves me for who I am. And I'm raising these families and the boys and this goofy little kid that has pins all over his hats. I'm teaching him to protect girls, and I love him to death. And he's starting to look like me, and that's kind of scary for both of us. And I'm out there, and I preach people from the Bible. Here's what they always say. Oh, God. Well, that's the first step right there, buddy. You're close. Why the F are you doing that? Because let me tell you, remember how much fun I used to be and have and everything? Every time I would leave all you guys, I would go home, and I hated being by myself. I love making people laugh. I love being with groups. I love being around. But when I was alone at night and I couldn't sleep, it was the most terrifying time in my life. When I was alone, I hated who I was with. I couldn't tell anybody that. I mean, there were people that wanted to be like me, and I didn't know what to do with me. You know how I had a girlfriend every third week that was different because I got bored with them after like 2 or 3 weeks because I was trying to find a woman that would make me feel like a man, and instead they just kept taking more masculinity away from me. And this book taught me that you need to learn how to be a man that has something to offer a woman, not look at what a woman can offer you. And so I worked on that for a long time, and then God gave me like the most beautiful of his daughters, and I was like, shut up. And she's Jewish, so it's like half my kids are chosen. It's amazing. I think God did that to counter the other half, and so it's like a break even right now. I don't want to tell you how great I am. I want to tell you about another bucket and another bucket and another bucket and another bucket. Because you're sitting there and you're going, you don't understand. Dude, I'm not going to be one of those guys. This isn't God starting in my life. I'm not that dude. Man, he's looking for wood that's on fire. No. He's looking for wood that people would go, oh, God. You're like, well, that's a testimony. Throw another bucket. I don't care who you are, where you come from, who your dad is, and what you've done, and what's been done to you, and what you're going through. How long are you going to keep freaking hopping from branch to branch? Pick one. Because by not picking one, you have chosen. You've chosen. Get more buckets. Get more buckets. Get more buckets. This isn't about the wood. Do it again. Do it again. Do it a third time. 36, at the time of evening sacrifice, the prophet Elijah stepped forward and prayed, O Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let me take you back to who this God is. Let it be known today that you are God in Israel and that I am your servant and I've done all these things at your command. He said, this ain't me. This ain't me helping a widow. This isn't me going to a king saying this is what I think is going to happen. This isn't me coming out of Chris again. He goes, let everyone know everything I've done from the last 2 pages for the last 3.5 years. Do this so everyone knows. It ain't me. Do this so a woman back home knows. Man, that ain't him. I've been married to him for 9 years. This is a different he. Do this in such a way where the guys at work know there's something different there, and that ain't him. We know who he is. This is a different he. Do this in such a way where people know it's not Elijah. I love the way James puts it. When James in the New Testament talks to us about praying to our dad, about our God, that we are boys who are made to be in relationship with the Father. He goes, I want you to do it like Elijah. By the way, Elijah was a man just like us. I love that in the Bible. I love that in the Bible because I hated being compared to an older brother who was awesome. I hated being compared to a younger brother who's one of the smartest dudes I know. I don't know what's beyond straight A's, but he got that. He's one of those guys that graduates with like a 5.2 GPA, and I'm like, I thought 4 was the highest. That's the dumbest thing ever. Man, my brother was awesome. My little brother was a brain. And then there's me, the prayer request. I hated being compared. And so James knows that, the brother of Jesus, right in the book of the New Testament. Guys, I want you to have a relationship with dad like Elijah. Whoa, 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 whoa. Don't think old Gandalf guru. He was a dude just like you. He came from nowhere. He had nothing going for him. He was soaked wood that wasn't going to light. And he decided to pick a branch. He was just like us, guys. Do this so people would know it ain't me. Answer me, O Lord, answer me, so these people will know that you are the Lord God and that you are turning their hearts back again. Circle, highlight, underline. God does not want your head knowledge. God does not want a mental assent that you know that he is. God doesn't want you to go, hey, true or false? Cocoa Crisp. True or false? There is a God. True. I said, I don't care about what you think about me. I want your heart. I want you to pick a branch. I want you to live this out. Do this in a way where they can live this out. Then the fire of the Lord fell, burned up the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, the soil, and also licked up the water in the trench. Shut up! Water caught on fire and burned up. That's good. I'm not talking oil spill, guys. It burned up the wood. It burned up the dirt. It burned up the water. And when all the people saw this, they fell prostrate and they cried, "The Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God." Then Elijah commanded them, "Seize the prophets of Baal. Don't let anyone get away." They seized them, and Elijah had them brought down to the Kishon Valley and slaughtered there. Okay, now there's a Bible story. So everyone believed in God, and everyone went home happily ever after. Elijah goes, "Nah, we need to do some killing." Okay, all you Satan worshipers that have screwed up our country and came out here to prove, everyone's like, "All right, your God wins." Nah, not good enough. See, the end of this game, somebody's going to die. We're taking you all down to the valley. We're getting rid of this. Because if I leave a branch open, I'm going to hop back to it. If we leave the branch open, oh, I know there's a God. You ever had one of those moments? Maybe it's up here at a men's retreat. Oh, that's right, there's a God. That's awesome. That's cool. What's going to happen Sunday night? You left the branch open. You left the branch open. And Elijah's all, we're just going to cut the branches. We're going to get rid of the branches. Done. Okay, the story's about to pick up. We have to save that for tonight. We end right there today. Man. That's good. No one's ever asked me to go longer. Where you at? I'm not asking you if you believe that there's a God. Do you know that there's a God? Have you chosen a branch? Are you in? Is your home different because of it? Is she different because of it? Are you guarding everything else so you're not going to get shot off this branch? Have you made sure you cut off the other branches so you don't go back down and you're going to hop right back into it? You're going to hop right back into it. How long are you going to dance between the two? How many more messages? How many more sermons? How many more retreats? How many more weekends? Pick a branch. You have all the excuses in the world why this isn't you. Now, you don't understand where I'm at, and I don't know this enough, and I don't, another bucket. God goes, douse it. Keep pouring it up. You know what you're doing? You're making me look good, God says. It ain't about you. It's about the God that you serve. I mean, simply look at the story. Who had more faith? If you look at the story, who had more faith, the 850 or Elijah? We say Elijah because we're Sunday school trained. But I would say 850, man. They're the ones that said, dude, we'll do it. They're the ones that showed up and danced and screamed and yelled. They're the ones that said, game on. You're playing in our home court. Who had more religion that day? The 850. Who seemed to have more devotion that day? The 850. They even cut themselves. For 12 hours, man, they bought in and believed this. Elijah sat on a rock and just smack talked. Who sacrificed more themselves that day? The 850. Who prayed longer that day? The 850. I'm not going to try to talk you into religion. You don't need that. I'm not trying to talk you into, man, you got to be in church every weekend. You got to be in the Word every. That's not what it's about. It's about coming back to understanding we were made as boys to be in a relationship with an amazing dad. And you're either in or out. You can't hop. You can't dance. Elijah knew who he was in with. And it wasn't the amount of religion. It wasn't the amount of faith. It wasn't the amount of dedication. It wasn't the amount of sacrifice. It wasn't the amount of mental belief. These 850 mentally believed this was their game. This was their game. It's not the amount of your faith. It's who you're in. Have you chosen what branch to be on? That's all Elijah knew. I know what branch I'm on. God, so that everyone knows that I'm with you. Do what you do. Do what you do.
I'm in.
I've gone 3.5 years of risk, 3.5 years of sacrifice, 3.5 years of following you. I'm in. I'm in. How much longer are you going to hop and dance back and forth? It's not a mental belief that there's a God. James says even the demons believe in God. The demons believe Jesus is the Son of God. The demons believe Jesus died on the cross. And the demons believe Jesus rose from the dead. I don't think they're in heaven. I don't want your mental belief. Do this so that you can have our hearts. It's going to show at home. It's going to show in the bottom line. I'm not about my assets. I'm going to be about people. This may cost. But for a short time, I don't care. I'm with you. I've chosen my branch. You show me a man, whether he's 12, 22, 32, or 82, that knows that he's on his branch. And I'll show you a man to be reckoned with. And I'll draw a circle around that man and say, my bet is, I bet everything on true, that everybody in that guy's circle knows where they stand. They're safe. They're secure. Because he's here. He's made for us. That's what we're about. God's already gone all in. Choice is ours. You have 1,000 excuses. Why not you? And God said, print it. That's just another bucket. That's just another bucket. That's just another bucket. Oh, you're going to make me look good. I'm in. God, may we be men today that stop pointing fingers and excuses. May we be men today who don't blame others, but pick up our own junk. May we be men today that stop hopping, dancing. This isn't about knowing that you're God. It's about giving you our heart and life. We are going to live daily knowing you are God of our life. We can provoke you or we can stand with you. May you take every excuse we have and let us know that you know it. You know who we are. You know where we come from. You know what we've done. You know what's been done to us. You know what we're currently doing. You know what we're capable of in the future. And still you want us because we're your boys. But you want us to choose and to pick your branch. There's no third option. We're with you or we're playing games. May this be a weekend that you really hit our hearts. And we stop playing games. May we stand with you. May you do whatever it is you've created us to do in us and through us. In Jesus' name, amen.